three CDOs match wits and data, vying for competitive advantage and market dominance tonight on So You Think You're Data Driven. And now, here's your host, Bob Twitt.
Thank you, Johnny, and welcome. Welcome to So You Think You're Data Driven. We've got three great CDOs with us tonight going head to head for some great prizes. Speaking of great prizes, here comes our hostess, Winter Bartholomew, with our grand prize now. Tell us about it, Johnny.
It's a brass ring. Forged from the finest recycled copper and zinc and shaped by expert craftsmen into an elegant round circular shape, this brass ring is an unmistakable symbol of your success and a welcome addition to any executive suite. Back to you, Bob.
I sure would like to have one of those for myself. Our runners-up don't leave here empty-handed, do they, Johnny?
No, Bob, they certainly do not. All of our contestants receive a copy of our home game, a boilerplate data strategy from Hubris Data Pros, and a free registration to a 90-minute online workshop on how to do better with data. Back to you, Bob.
Those are some great prizes. Now, let's meet our contestants. Todd, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your company.
Sure. My name is Todd Corporate. I'm Senior Vice President for Data Operations at Megacorp, the worldwide market leader in all things awesome. My hobbies are leverage balance and needlepoint.
Thank you, Todd. You know, you seem kind of young for a senior vice president. Have you graduated from high school yet?
I'm a prodigy.
Okay, let's move on to our second contestant, a familiar face in these parts.
Thanks. I'm Lynn Chamberlain, CDO of Omni Media Solutions, producer of some of the most popular broadcast and streaming programs on the biggest and littlest screens, including So You Think You're Data Driven.
And having my boss's boss's boss on speed dial wouldn't possibly be an advantage in our game here.
Of course not. No. Maybe.
Moving quickly on to CDO number three.
Hello, my name is Joyce Codd. I'm from Rapid Falls, Iowa, and I'm Executive Vice President of Informatics at the Endless Queue Medical Group. We are a marketplace and clearinghouse for electronic medical records. Our business is data, and if any company is data-driven, it is ours.
Thank you very much, contestants. Now here's how we play the game. I'm going to read you a characteristic of a data-driven company. The first one to buzz in with an example of how your company demonstrates that data-driven characteristic, as verified by our panel of celebrity judges, wins the question. Each correct answer in the first round is worth 10 points, 20 in the second round, and in our final grand finale question is worth a whopping 100 points. Now, let's play So You Think You're Data-Driven. For 10 points, here's your first data-driven characteristic. Briefly describe the training your employees are required to complete that reinforces a culture emphasizing the use of data in decision-making. Okay, a little bit of a rough start, but let's see if we have some better luck with this one. For 10 points, and you can use your smartphone for this one. For 10 points, show me a report that measures data quality the same way you might get reports for debt product quality. As we go into our final question, and it's still anybody's game, for 100 points and the win, write down your answer to this question. How many times have you delayed a software release because the data was not properly understood? Okay, let's start with Todd. Let's see what he wrote. 0. I'm sorry, that may be a correct answer, but that is not data-driven. Moving on to Lynn, she wrote also 0. Sorry, also not data-driven. That brings us to Joyce. You can win the game if your answer is data-driven. And you wrote 0. And once again, our game ends with all three contestants tied with 0 points. Looks like nobody gets competitive advantage or market dominance this week, but you will all receive the home game, the boilerplate strategy, and access to the online workshop, which seems like it might be useful. Tune in next week when we invite three more CDOs to play. So, you think you're data-driven.
You know, John, I'm not sure why we keep watching that show. I don't think we've ever seen anyone score even a single point.
Me neither. I guess I just keep hoping we'll see some company someday that's truly data-driven.
It seems they all say they're data-driven, but you know, you scratch just below the surface and maybe not so much. Data-driven needs to be more than a slogan or a quarterly report check-in-the-box keyword.
Much more. And you know, the companies that are really data-driven will come out on top as big winners. The brass ring is within reach of anyone who decides they want to do what it really takes to get it.
Well, maybe we can help.
I do believe we can. This is John Ladley.
And Mark Cooper.
Welcome to the Rock Bottom Data Feed.
You know, recent survey results suggest that in a month of shows, they might only have a couple of data-driven companies.
You'd never know that from hearing the corporate speak. There does seem to be a lot of overselling when it comes to being data-driven.
Yeah, but you probably have to say that you're data-driven, even if data doesn't drive much actual behavior. I'm sure you've seen that a time or two or 20.
Absolutely. There are data-driven companies, and that number is increasing, but it can be a bit of a slog. And we will hear from an expert on that. Let's do a show. In the late 30s, early 40s, that was a long time ago, two kid stars, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, did a series of movies. While each one was slightly different, they featured these two down-and-out kids wanting to be singers and dancers, and from nowhere, they produce a Broadway show. Yeah, I was a lonely kid and watched a lot of old movies. Anyway, when I heard about data-driven the first time and I saw the surge about this, I thought immediately of these movies because I saw no way, unless I suspended this disbelief of getting from the words to the results. Let's be data-driven. Let's do a show. You know, and for years, the data showed this. There really wasn't a lot of uptake on being data-driven. There were, you know, points of light, things like that. But last year, the data turned a lot. And I'm referring to a survey from Wavestone Partners. It's an organization out of Europe. And Randy Bean and Tom Davenport do the survey, all right? And the survey said most organizations are starting to get this data-driven thing going. Something is improving. They're saying they're using analytics to be competitive, and they're creating data-driven cultures. But what does that really mean to be innovative with data? Is there some universal definition? Well, it turns out that data-driven is really what you want it to be. It needs to be defined for your organization, right? Because what do you want to do with your data to be competitive and achieve your goals? Well, if we're talking about data, at the end of the day, that's really not even an option. This is something we have to do. So the devil's in the details here. So here's four real basic steps. One, define data-driven. What does it mean to you? Second, define the tone. How urgent it is? How serious is your business about this? Is this a prototype? Is it a pilot? Or is it a change in your culture? Based on that, how smart do you have to be? You can't do it now. You're not doing it now. Where do you have to learn? What competencies do you need to develop? And then lastly, how do you manage your data to make sure it all works out? Remember, everything in the data industry starts with either, how do I pay back the venture capitalist, or how do I make more money on this? There's a lot of hype. But it comes down to a simple question. What do I want to do with my data? It's going to take a while. It'll happen. But hang in there. And in the meantime, be nice to each other. I'd like to welcome our guest, Randy Bean. He has a whole bunch of titles: senior advisor, author, speaker, CEO, board member, and innovation fellow. What's really cool, he's the best-selling author of a book called Fall Fast, Learn Faster: Lessons in Data-Driven Leadership in an Age of Big Disruption. An Age of Disruption, Big Data, and AI. And he also writes for Forbes, Harvard Business Review, MIT Sloan, a whole bunch of stuff. Way smarter than me. Randy, welcome to the program.
Hey, John, it's great to be here. Nice to see you.
Yeah. You also were founder of a company called a New Vantage, which is now part of Wavestone, right?
After 20 years of being in industry, back in 2001, I founded a company, New Vantage Partners, to be advisors to Fortune 1000 companies on how to leverage basically data analytics and later on AI. And I ran that company for 20 years, advising many Fortune 1000 companies, since sold it in December of 2021 and completed the integration December of 2023. And now I'm semi-retired like yourself.
I have been through the acquisition. It's like 2 years and 1 minute after you start set your sights on something else. It's really glad. And unlike some of the other guests we've had in this season, listener, I've never met Randy before. It's the first time we've had a chat. We've been orbiting each other for, we won't say how many years. That's probably a good idea. We'll just keep that quiet. I'm going to base the questions around two areas here. One, for several years now, many years. I mean, you've done a survey, started with New Vantage, and then I guess Wavestone continued it. It came out in February of this year, I gather. And it hopefully will continue to come out. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. But first, I wanted to pose some of the questions around this book, which is really good. It's got good examples in it. It's easy to read. Listener, I recommend it on your professional library highly. But let's start with, this is all about being data-driven, lessons in data-driven leadership. But Randy, you're in an elevator, you've got the CEO, you've got four floors, and the CEO looks at you and says, "You're that guy working on data-driven. What is that?"
Well, basically, we live in a time, and we've both grown up professionally during this time, that data has become more and more prevalent. Computing power has made it more and more available. And if you're not looking at data to make decisions about how you run your company, how you serve your customers, then you're just sticking your head in the sand. So it doesn't mean you have to become a complete technophile, but just basic common sense says if there's data there, you should do yourself a favor and take a look at it.
So I'm going to channel some of the more obnoxious CEOs I've ever sat down with and talked to. So then follow up that I've received it, actually. I'm actually quoting here. This isn't a genius question I've invented. Well, we've used data for 20 or 30 years. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is there's more of it. The difference is that it's becoming available more rapidly. And the difference is that more and more organizations are using data to run their businesses. Though 90% of the Fortune 1000 are 50 years or older and are legacy companies, that 10% of the Fortune 1000 that has been founded in the past generation have some of the highest market caps out there. So, you know, you're not going to go out of business overnight by being a follower, but you do have the opportunity to step ahead of a number of your peers.
So it is a competitive consideration for sure. The old adage of CEO cares about three things, right? More customers, more profit, lower costs, right? So if the CEO, hits the stop button on the elevator and says, "Okay, tell me more," what are the steps? Just broad brushstrokes. I want to be data driven. What's going to be different? How do I get there?
Yeah, I'd say a few things. First of all, to your point, it's all about the customers. You know, I started my career early on in database marketing, which these days would be known as CRM, and it's how to use data to do a better job of serving your customers, acquiring, retaining, growing your customer relationships. And frankly, you know, organizations have been at this for 40 years in one form or another. So none of this is new. As a matter of fact, you know, people talk about AI these days and get all excited. You know, the term was first coined in 1952, and In December of this past year, there was a two-day event in Boston at Northeastern University, their Institute for Experiential AI. And the first day was billed as the 10th Chief Data Officer Symposium, and I did the keynote panel for that. And the second day was billed as the first ever Chief AI Officer Symposium. And as they were kicking off that session that morning, I looked at the moderator and I said, I thought the first one of these was in 1962. And it was just like blank faces. Most of people weren't even born then. So the point is this has been around for a long time, but we've finally reached the scale where the computing power and the amount of data has made it so that AI has value, because AI, great AI, is totally dependent upon great data.
We kind of have the meaning of it. There's some steps to do that. Maybe the CEO is part of a conservative company, and the CEO says, "Can we be a little bit data driven? Is this an all-in thing, like all that business re-engineering stuff in the 90s and the quality stuff in the 2000s? Is it one of those, or what am I looking at here for my culture and for my organization?"
I could speak for hours on this topic, but I'll try to make it succinct. And since you spoke about the audience for this being business leaders, I think that's great, because for all of the articles I write, and I write two per month for Forbes, six per year for MIT Sloan, three per year for Harvard Business Review. And the thing that I always do every time I write an article is I'm picturing a Fortune 1000 CEO as being the reader. And I tell this to the audience, I tell this to audiences I speak with, and I say, and so therefore I write at a third grade level. And they start laughing. And I say, it wasn't meant to be a joke. It was meant to be deadly serious. Because if you can't speak in plain language and explain things, and explain things in business terms, and explain the benefit, and explain why somebody should care, then you're wasting your time. And for example, if I talk about artificial intelligence, I say, artificial intelligence, often known as AI, which is this, which means this, which has this impact on your business, which you should care about for these reasons. So that being said, there's so much talk and writing about AI these days, but it's important to remember that any type of transformation takes time. When I started my career, I had a mentor who was a vice chairman of a major bank, and he said, Randy, nothing ever happens in less than a decade in terms of change and transformation. I thought that was very cynical at the time, but it's been borne out. And I think a classic example of that was 2 or 3 years ago, I guess 2 years ago during COVID, a number of data and digital leaders of Fortune 1000 companies said to me, we've done more in the past 6 months to execute on our digital strategy than we had in the previous 20 years. So, necessity is the mother of invention. And for the most part, organizations don't do something until it's going to have a critical impact in terms of their ability to serve and sustain their customers and their business.
So it to me, it seems like if you're going to say you're going to be data driven, and I've worked with organizations myself on that topic, and I've had the same thing from a CEO. This first CEO I worked with said, "When you show me something, it's duckies, chickies, and primary colors." And I've always admired him and used that again and again since I was told that, which, was spot on. But anyway, so that's interesting. What I'm taking away from that, Randy, then, is a little bit data driven might be considered not appropriate. You are committing to some long term thinking. You're committing to some sort of cultural impact in the organization. I think you're certainly contributing to some of the behaviors of your leadership team have to modify, right? You talk about data strategy an awful lot in your book. Is that where that comes in?
Well, all of this for me fundamentally is about change and transformation. Transformation and change are difficult, and it tends to happen slowly within organizations, particularly legacy companies. And even when people verbally pay lip service to change, they may be all for it until somebody says, well, this change means impacting you and how you do your job. And then it's all of a sudden the shoe's on a different foot. So organizations have to be realistic. They can't have expectations that change is going to happen overnight, that they're going to change all of their processes, that they're going to change their people, change their skills. And second of all, it doesn't have to happen overnight. So it should happen in a thought-through fashion. Organizations should take advantage of experimentation, not put things in production. And particularly with AI, it's very important to mitigate the risks. There's so many tremendous potential risks with AI. And as Warren Buffett said, it takes 30 years to build a reputation. It can be destroyed overnight.
Yeah.
So organizations need to make sure that they have the safeguards in place to avoid misinformation, disinformation, ethical bias, all of those type of issues.
One other thing I wanted to talk about is this survey. This survey has been something we all wait for in the industry, as every February it's like, oh, is the survey out? Is the survey out? Because it's given us really good numbers. It's given us this ammunition to talk to leadership and say, do you want to do this? Well, look, here's what's really happening out there. What I'm looking at and where I want to kind of hone in on the survey is this year, 2024's data to 2023 and how they averaged before that made some big jumps. And to myself and my peers, where I've just left consulting, but a lot of my peers are still out there slogging along, doing strategies for their clients and things like that. And they look at this data and the clients go, whoa, what are we doing wrong? Are we part of this big leapfrog as our project? And so my first question is something like, created a data-driven organization, 23.9% leap up to 48.1%. Do you have an explanation of that? And first of all, I have to ask you, because I'm a data guy, are those the good numbers? Was there an anomaly? How did you squeeze that out? Because my peers are saying, I don't believe that. And I'm going, I mean, Randy and Tom Davenport and all those researchers, I think they're going to squeeze it out. But assure us, please, sir. Provide some assurances.
The short story is, time will tell whether it was an aberration or not. However, what Gen AI did since its emergence in the fall of 2022 was it raised awareness among CEOs, among boards of that AI was coming and that they had to have a plan for AI on their radar screen. And one of the things these organizations came to quickly realize or understand, or they were told, was that the quality of AI was very dependent upon the quality of the data that the organizations needed. And so, as a consequence, boards, organizations, leadership start to ask, what are we doing with our data? How are we managing our data? So, as a consequence of that, the number of organizations that said that they'd created a data-driven organization and the number that said they'd established a data and analytics culture reportedly doubled between 2023 and 2024. Now, there's been some degree of backlash in 2024, so it'll be interesting to see that whether these numbers increase, hold at this level, or actually recede a little bit.
All righty then. Thank you for answering this and all of that. And I'm going to ask you back next year because we could talk for days. But I want to end with our two questions we ask all of our guests. First one, who is a non-technology leader that you admire? You don't, and if it's like a family member, no need to name names, but why do you admire them and how do you apply the lesson they gave you to your data work and to your writing and things like that?
Yeah, I always try to go with my first idea, and I went to a small gathering about a month ago. I was fortunate to have the opportunity, and it was with Garry Kasparov, the chess
Oh,
master who played Big Blue. But I'm not going to quote him. I'm going to quote who he quoted. At the end of his discussion about AI, he put up a slide, and there was a picture of Pablo Picasso, and Pablo Picasso says, computers are stupid. They can't ask good questions. And that was his closing slide. So that's actually my answer. It's the kind of the antithesis of the I don't know, Silicon Valley mindset.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, second question. If you could get one thing implemented in an organization, so you've been an advisor to many organizations, and you're in there, and if you could have one thing implemented because you got this person on your staff named Harry Potter, and then go twink, and it's going to happen, what would be that one thing in an organization around data or data-driven that you would have, if you had the power, you could instantaneously do, what would that be?
It's not very original or exciting, but because I mentioned that I spent so much time in database marketing, for me, it's all about, how you can make the customer experience better and easier and more simplified. That's the lens that I see everything through.
Very good. Very good. Randy, it's a pleasure to meet you and talk. And I wish this could go on for a few days. And I hope you come back someday. But in the meantime, thank you so very much for being our guest.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor.
Thank you, Randy. And thanks to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros. If you want to be data driven and need results, start with Hubris.
Welcome to Dispatches from Rock Bottom, dredging up practical information, advice, and food for thought. I used to pass a sign on the fence next to a neighborhood bar that said, "Free beer tomorrow." The survey results Randy Bean talked about earlier and others I've seen recently reminded me of that sign. Every year, the overwhelming majority of organizational leaders say that data initiatives are planned and prioritized. Every year, for as long as I can remember. It's clear that companies recognize the need to be data-driven, but the needle is moving very slowly. Surveys taken in 2023 and 2024 by New Vantage Partners, ThoughtSpot, and Data Quality and Software Development Times found that between 16 and 25% of companies describe themselves as being data-driven, with culture almost unanimously cited as the greatest obstacle. It's not a surprise. It's what we say in every episode of this podcast. It's people. If only there was a company that demonstrated unequivocally that being data-driven could pay off with accelerated business insights and making tons of money. Wait, we do have an example. I don't think that anyone would disagree that Amazon is a data-driven company. Data informs pretty much everything that they do. But oftentimes I hear from more established enterprises that these new internet companies are just different, and that the comparisons really need to be made with other legacy companies. Never mind that 30 years is hardly new. And you're saying that internet companies aren't your competition? Of course they are. And the so-called legacy companies are starting to figure that out, and also to see the benefits of a true data-driven culture. The gap between analytics leaders and laggards is widening. Somebody in your industry is going to figure it out if they haven't already, and if it's not you, it's going to be really, really hard for you to catch up. So between now and next time, the one thing you can do is to define for yourself what it would mean for your organization to be data-driven. That becomes your tangible goal. You've already heard a lot of great advice in this podcast. That's what I think. We'd love to hear your stories if you're willing to share. Write us at rockbottom@counterthreadedproductions.com.
Welcome back, Randy. It's time for our game show. It's not really a game because you don't win anything. And if you did win anything, we couldn't pay for it anyway. But what we're going to do, and we call this game the Audio Rorschach Test. So what we're going to do is play a little snippet of music and you tell me the first impression that hits your mind, but data related, if you would not mind. Okay. I have a bunch of royalty free music set up here. And as we've said before, it's royalty free because we can't pay royalties yet. Okay. So Randy, pick a number between 1 and 5, and I will play the corresponding royalty free music and you can give me your first impression.
I'm going to split the difference and say 3.
All right. Number 3 it is. Here we go.
Sounds like the Silicon Valley hype machine to me.
I like it. I like it. And I just about took the words right out of my mouth, too. Thank you very much, Randy. Thanks for playing the game. And thanks again for being on Rock Bottom Data Feed. Take
All
care.
Right. Thank you, John. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye.
And thanks again to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros, reminding you that any resemblance to actual events, persons, or businesses, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Randy's survey suggests that maybe next season someone will score some points on So You Think You're Data-Driven. Being data-driven means committing to long-term thinking and pervasive organizational transformation, so be patient, but get started. Until next time, this has been John Ladley and Mark Cooper for the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Thanks for listening, and remember, when you're here, you've reached rock bottom. You can find more information about the topics covered in this episode, the fuss about data-driven, at our website, counterthreadedproductions.com. The Rock Bottom Data Feed is a Counter Threaded production, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.